got something that's really fantastic. I don't know how you go out fantastic, fantastic.
It's now been 1 year since the U.S. state of Colorado launched the world's first market for recreational marijuana, sparking mass controversy. The cannabis you can buy in Colorado and Washington is regulated and taxed. It's thought sales of the drug could have reached $400 million in 2014. You can now buy food products such as Dixie Rolls, white chocolate, peppermint and truffles, all containing marijuana, which some claim has helped boost the local economy.
Our real estate is booming right now, 5 million square feet of commercial lease space. That's the estimates that we're seeing that this industry has had. Now imagine if that was vacant property.
But critics argue the sale of the drug could lead to long-term addiction and have negative health effects.
The societal costs are far greater. The industry themselves get wealthy. They make a lot of money. But the burden falls on families, falls on employers, falls on our healthcare system, falls on our school.
As the industry continues to grow, with increasing competition from medical marijuana and the black market, it's unclear if it will all go to pot.
Hey, hop in, man.
Hey, man, who's car?
You know Wooderson?
Oh. How's it going, man?
Hey.
Pretty good. How's it going with you?
Say, man, you got a joint?
No, not on me, man.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way, when there is no sun to light the way. They told me it was incorrect to say that I died. They said what actually happened is I had a near-death experience and I was protected. And I don't pray to the Son of Man. I pray to the God that the Son of Man prayed to. I pray to the God that created the sun, you dig? I pray to the God that created all the suns, moons, and stars, you heard? I pray to the one that is and always will be, all that is and never was, the solitary, authentic whole in any and all existence, the only proper use of the concept one. And the Creator has a master plan, and Armageddon is ensuing more rapidly, and when I said I don't believe in hell, I was technically correct because I didn't believe it, but now I've seen it, so I have to receive it. In fact, to be accurate, I've seen a few of them, and I'm not talking about hell on earth, and anyone who perpetuates hell on earth will eventually learn that the actual hells wax far, far worse. And if you want to know if you're living right here, I can actually explain it to you simply right here. All you have to do is give and receive love, place nothing above God and your family, recognize you're just a reflection of God's love, so there can be no use for big egos or petty vanity. And celebrities are like meaningless sex because often they're just distractions. And if you believe I've achieved any level of success, then you too should study the laws of attraction. And conversely, when celebrities try to sell our children on self-hate, it's them same laws of attraction that magnetize us to want to smack them. And you can tell them I'm very easy to find online. My tour schedule is always available at TalamAC.com, you heard? But if they approach me and know not God, then their brags about crime best have been true word for another word. What if this is God's work is a rhetorical question, and I pray to the God that manifests beyond X, Y, Z, and T axes. I pray to the God that manifests in infinite dimensions, the one that controls descent and ascension, the one that controls darkness and light, the one that controls opaque and translucent. And my frenemies keep telling me not to do it. Don't tell people to pray to the one indivisible God when they already been taught to pray to Christ. But like the last poet said, time is running out, and our situation is too seriously urgent for any of us to not be teaching right. And if you think I'm teaching wrong, I'm open-minded, and that's your choice. And if you really believe it, you should hit the streets and spread your gospel and your voice. But I don't get to tell people to pray to a man and a ghost. And if my frenemies don't like it, it's okay. Because like Stevie Wonder said, they won't go when I go. In fact, when they go, they probably won't go where I go. Armageddon is not moving slowly. I was created by God to praise God, and men were trained by men to pray to a man, and Armageddon is ensuing more rapidly, and apocalypse is ensuing more rapidly, and cataclysm is ensuing more rapidly, and the sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. When there is no sun to light the way, there is hell to pay. And I wasn't given harmony or melody. I was given symphony with timpani drums. And if he simply comes in peace and love, then we'll essentially become what teachers are of and eventually get to strum a chord that reaches above and leave it to future poets to herald the sum of what each of us was. So what I gotta do? What I gotta say, when I gotta break, where I gotta take, why I gotta prove parlance and cadence to make them all stare at me like Edgar Allan Poe's Raven. They don't even know what I be saying, but they think I'm popular, so they copy what I be saying. And I get it from the source, so I just be obeying, and they could even approach me in my sleep. I can still tell when to stop and when to start, because I can feel when the pressures in their heart say win. All true fear says lose. All true belief says win. Jinyame, God and fear do not occupy the same space, and living love is the message is our job. And if you've ever felt any twinge of fears, because none of us ever was or ever will be God. But if you're full of fear, go. Just recognize what you've been offered is modern meditation for focus. And when you see me looking at the sky, I'm looking past the sky. The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. When there is no sun to light the way, we pull together. Harambe, when there is no sun to light the way, we honor life. Ife, when there is no sun to light the way, there is no day. There is no day. It is so. Ashe.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, an interview with a political consultant to Hamas about how the charter for that organization still calls for the killing of Jews.
But first, President Bush is calling for an end to the violence triggered by cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject violence as a way to express discontent with what may be printed in a free press. I call upon the governments around the world to stop the violence.
One European magazine, the French satirical weekly Charlie Hebdo, today further angered Muslim groups by reprinting the offending cartoons and adding another one. Here with us to discuss this decision is Sebastian Rotella. He's the Paris bureau chief for the Los Angeles Times, and welcome to Day to Day.
Thanks very much.
So tell us about this magazine, Charlie Hebdo. What is it?
It's a satirical magazine with a very political focus and very irreverent and often outrageous, and that sort of specializes in going after authority figures, politicians, particularly right-wing politicians. It has also certainly in the past satirized religion as well.
And why did it decide to republish these cartoons?
Well, this has become, and this is happening all around Europe, one publication after another is making a stand for democracy for freedom of the press, and those were the reasons that the editors of Charlie Hebdo gave, and I think they also sort of specialize in kind of edgy, irreverent, confrontational topics, and so this they sort of, I think, saw this as a challenge that they had to step up and take.
I guess, and more than a challenge, it actually added another cartoon that could be inflammatory. It has a caricature with a headline, Muhammad Overwhelmed by the Fundamentalists, and it shows the prophet with his head in his hands remarking, it's hard to be loved by idiots.
That's right. That certainly, I assume, will further anger people who were already angry.
Well, has it so far? A few months ago, there was the rioting in France by mostly Arab youth. Have they responded at all? Has anyone responded to the publication of these cartoons and this extra one?
That's a very interesting question, particularly in reference to the riot and how things sometimes go against expectations. Certainly, the Muslim associations in France aren't happy about the caricatures, and they, in fact, went to court to try to stop the publication of Charlie Hebdo, but the court ruled against them. But, on the other hand, the street has been very quiet. From what you can see, and I've been talking a lot also to police and intelligence officials in the aftermath of the riots, and somebody was telling me just yesterday that they find it interesting that there just isn't that much chatter or even talk in mosques here in France about this issue, not as much as you would expect given the intensity and the violence of the reaction in places like the Middle East.
Sebastian Rotella is Paris bureau chief for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Too many many people buzzing around like flies. Too many people making money with lies. Too many people with tears in their eyes as we're taking it all away. Too many people just out to survive. Too many people with no heart in their lives. Too many people lost and deprived. And so many standing still. Taking the long way around, letting our brothers down, as it keeps on rushing by, racing against the time. Are we taking the easy out, like our face among the crowds, as it keeps on rushing by, racing against the time.
At least 12 people have been killed and 10 injured in a shooting at the headquarters of a magazine in France. Two masked gunmen reportedly stormed into the Parisian office of a satirical weekly magazine, Charlie Hebdo. Police have confirmed that one journalist and two police officers were among those who died during the attack. Four people have been seriously injured. A manhunt is now underway for the killers, who are heavily armed and escaped after a shootout in the street with police.
Mon comportement, ma volonté.
French President Hollande has called the attack barbaric, and France has now raised its national security level to the highest notch.
À parler aux Français.
The controversial publication has been attacked in the past for publishing a cartoon that made jokes about Muslim leaders. It also caused a stir after publishing a series of satirical cartoons of Muhammad in September 2012.
Too many people giving nothing away. Too many people with nothing to say. Too many people just getting through the day so they can close it down at night. Too many people wearing suits and ties. Too many people wearing a gracious disguise. Too many people with hate in their eyes, but their smile is pearly white. Are we taking the long way around, letting our sisters down, as it keeps on rushing by, oh, racing against the time. Are we taking the easy out, like our face among the crowds, as it keeps on.
This amateur video shows the moment a police officer is shot dead by two gunmen in Paris after pleading for his life. The harrowing video, which is shot from a balcony above, shows the black-clad gunmen walking forward from their vehicle down a Paris street whilst firing rounds. The camera is turned to show a police officer lying on the footpath. He raises his hands as the gunmen run towards him. He is then shot in the head. The men then continue running down the road before turning and running back towards a black vehicle where they get inside and drive off. 12 people have been killed at the Paris office of French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo. Four of the magazine's well-known cartoonists, including its editor-in-chief, were among those killed, as well as two police officers. A major police operation is now underway to find the three gunmen who fled by car.
These people will be interrogated. It involves a group of three hooded suspects with heavy weapons who fled the scene before they could be arrested. Unfortunately, they came across colleagues in police cars on whom they opened fire. There were colleagues who retaliated. They succeeded in spite of everything to escape. Currently, they are actively trying to find them.
At least seven people were wounded in the attack, with several in a critical condition. French caricaturists Georges Walensky and Jean Carbou were reported to be among those killed. Charlie Hebdo is well known for causing controversy with satirical attacks on political and religious leaders. It's published numerous cartoons ridiculing the Prophet Muhammad.
Too many people bringing us all to war. Too many people taking life without cause. Too many people just accepting the laws while the demons run amok. Too many people bearing arms for self-gain. Too many people just resorting to blame. Too many people chasing the claim while the parasites continue to suck.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sure the whole House will want to join me in condemning the barbaric attack this morning on an office of a magazine in Paris in which it's reported that 10 or more people may have been killed. While details are still unclear, I know that this House and this country stands united with the French people in our opposition to all forms of terrorism, and we stand squarely for free speech and democracy. And these people will never be able to take us off those values.
Unless you have been in a sensory deprivation unit, you cannot have missed the controversy caused by the publication of 12 cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad. Now, the debate in a lot of the Western world has focused around the issue of freedom of speech. The argument is that blasphemy is protected in secular Western societies under free speech laws, and that Muslims, whether in Muslim countries or as immigrants to the West, must accept that these values are fundamental, non-negotiable components of Western civilization. But anyone who's been watching European politics over the last few years will see this argument as a tad simplistic. Muslim immigration has been a polarizing issue in Europe for much longer than it has here in Australia, and it cannot be untangled from the publication of these cartoons. And let me say at this point, I'm glad I'm working in the wireless, because we're not confronted by the ethical issue of whether or not we should show them to you, because of course we can't.
Too many people too scared to ask why. Too many people just want to curl up and die. Too many people defeated by crimes that our rulers perpetrate. Too many people staring at the screen. Too many people losing their dream. Too many people so vain and so mean. Now the bridges are burning down.
Female suicide bomber has blown herself up inside a police station in Istanbul, killing one officer and wounding another. On Tuesday, the woman is said to have spoken English as she entered the building, but her nationality and identity were unknown. There was no immediate claim of responsibility, but the bombing comes less than a week after far-left group DHKPC said it was behind a grenade attack carried out on police near the Prime Minister's office in Istanbul. The group was also behind a suicide bombing at the US Embassy last year, as well as attacks on Turkish police stations. There have also been clashes in predominantly Kurdish southeastern Turkey in recent weeks between members of Kurdish Islamist Party and youths linked to the outlawed Kurdistan Workers' Party, which has also carried out urban attacks in the past.
Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Been a long time gone, old Constantinople, still it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, not Constantinople. So if you've a date in Constantinople, Constantinople should be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. People just liked it better that way.
Take me back to Constantinople.
No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Liked it better that way. Take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul.
To me, as problem, reaction, solution. It works like this. You want to change society in a certain way here. You know that if you announce that openly, you're going to get an adverse reaction from the people. Imagine if the changes that have happened since 9/11 in terms of the destruction of freedoms and civil liberties had been proposed without 9/11. What you doing? We're doing. We're not. This is a fascist state. We're not having this. Oh, well, no, we've got to have it because it's terrorists. You know, problem, reaction, solution. So, you don't announce it openly. You, at stage one, create a problem. Terrorist bomb. I'm coming out. Terrorist bomb. I've got a wire loose. I read that in the Mirror once. He's got a wire loose, he said. They're right. And you create a problem. Terrorist bomb, war, running a currency, credit crunch, rising food prices. Anything that will allow you to offer the solution you want to change society. You then tell the people the version of the problem that you want them to believe, i.e. Bin Laden did this, Lee Harvey Oswald did this. And the pathetic mainstream media, instead of investigating the official version, just repeat it to the people, and the people at stage two are supposed to react, and most of the time they do. React with outrage, with fear, and they say, something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it? At which point, those who've covertly created the problem got that reaction, offer the solutions to the problems they have themselves covertly created, and those solutions are changes in society which advance the Orwellian state and the centralization of power, so the few can have more and more power over the many by this centralization of power. So, if you look at the Second World War, these bloodlines were behind Soviet communism, they were behind the capitalist countries, or cartelist countries in truth, of the West, and they were behind, including America, and they were behind Nazi fascism, bringing Hitler to power. They then bring them in conflict, called a Second World War. Massive problem. The Second World War in just a few years, and people were saying in their desperate state, something must be done, this can't go on. They were open to stop this, no more war. And so we got the solution, we'll centralize global power. So out of this came the European Union, that was justified too, let's trade instead of fight, which sounded good at the time, but actually that wasn't the agenda. The United Nations and an explosion of centralization of power in banking and business and politics on a global level, justified by the problem. None of which would have happened had it not been for the Second World War, which these bloodlines funded, including the Bush family. The George Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, was one of the major conduits for funding Hitler through a company called the Union Banking Corporation that interfaced with the banking and steel empire of a guy called Fritz Thyssen in Germany. He was an acknowledged funder of Hitler, and through that, how does anyone think that Germany went from thousands of percent inflation to a war machine that can take on the world in a few years because of outside influence and support, because they wanted that war? There's even another version of this now called no problem reaction solution, i.e. weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. You don't even need a real problem. You just need the perception of it. It's all a bloody mind game.
The world's largest container ship has docked at a British port for the first time. On Wednesday, the 400-metre-long CSL Globe, which carries 19,000 standard containers, docked at Felixstowe Port in the east of England. The vessel, which left China in December, arrived at the Suffolk port sometime after 12:30 p.m. Hundreds of spectators lined the coast to watch the ship dock, which is carrying a large range of consumer goods, including food and drink, clothing, electrical goods and furniture.
This vessel currently is the biggest in the world, 19,000 units. 10 years ago, 9,000 units seems to be the biggest vessels then. So you can see that the size actually doubled in 10 years.
The previous largest ship to have docked at the port was the Maersk Triple E, which arrived in November carrying around 18,000 containers. The ship, which weighs 184,000 tons, made its maiden voyage from the port of Qingdao, China, on December 4th.
Take me down to the waterside so I can see the wistful sky. Take me down to the waterside so I can feel the breeze blowing in. 'Cause there's something in the air out here that fills my swollen eyes with tears. I cough and splutter like a sad old man, slow consumption of who I am. And I'd pave the way to something great if I only had the will to concentrate. But for now I'll make a swift escape, a gentle ride to a gentle place.
13 people on board a skydive plane found themselves parachuting to safety moments before it crashed into a lake in New Zealand. Witnesses reported a steady stream of people jumping out of the plane.
Saw everyone deploy out of the plane, and then next minute he was in the lake. Parachuting down, like slowly. Yeah, I think the pilot, he must have been the last one to get out, because he ended up in the Blackberries.
It's understood the aircraft experienced mechanical failure en route to Lake Taupo, 175 miles south of Auckland, for a tandem skydive. TV footage showed a small aircraft submerged in shallow water. Rory Clements, chief executive of Skydive Taupo, which operated the plane, described the pilot and crew as heroes.
Nothing short of a miracle, really, because both the pilot and all the instructors are very heroic. They've all been trained to deal with emergency situations, and they've all dealt with this in the best possible way.
An investigation into the cause of the incident is now underway.
So take me down to the waterside so I can see the tide coming in. Take me down to the waterside so I can be my one and only friend. 'Cause there's something in the way they laugh, pointed fingers and photographs, hidden agendas and cordial masks. Take what they can get at every chance, and I'd love to join their special race. Material things, superficial embrace, but I'm so overwhelmed with fear. Feels like a time to disappear.
Linda Indonesian search and rescue teams hunting for the wreck of an AirAsia passenger jet have located the tail of the aircraft underwater. The chief of the search and rescue agency said the tail for the AirAsia flight QZ8501 has been found.
Sejak kemarin dan hari ini.
He said, "We have found the tail and it was the main target of the day." He also confirmed that it is at a position in a second priority sector.
Ini ada posisinya adalah di sektor prioritas tambahan kedua.
The tail is the section where the crucial black box voice and flight data recorders are located. The plane dived into the Java Sea on December 28th en route from Indonesia to Singapore with 162 people on board. No survivors have been found.
So take me down to the waterside so I can lift away the muddy veil. Take me down to the waterside so I can wash away the self-betrayal. Cause there's so many people right round here, but no one ever seems to get that near. Judgment spin the minds of fools, scornful faces, ridicule. And I'd love to join with hands and hearts if I could only bring down half my guards. The cushioned life of an iconoclast wears me down so bloody fast. Oh, so take me down to the waterside so I can see the wistful sky again. Take me down to the water side so I can be my one and only friend.
Divers plunged into the Java Sea on Thursday to search the wreckage of an AirAsia jet for the black box recorders, which, if found, could reveal why the plane crashed. Flight QZ8501 vanished from radar screens over the northern Java Sea on December 28th, less than halfway into a two-hour flight from Indonesia's second biggest city of Surabaya to Singapore. There were no survivors among the 162 people on board. The cause of the crash remains a mystery, with hope centering on the black boxes, the flight data recorder and the cockpit voice recorder, which should all provide vital clues. The plane which crashed was an Airbus A320-200, which carries the recorders near the tail section. The tail of the plane was found on Wednesday. It was upturned on the seabed about 20 miles from the plane's last known location at a depth of around 28 to 32 meters.
Us who have become privy to the truth, snapping out of our unreality, we must strive for internal balance in a very unbalanced world. It's easy to get caught up in a righteous anger once the spell of illusion is broken and the agendas of secret societies become clear. It's hard to believe that the people in power can be so selfish, so unkind, and so utterly narcissistic. It is difficult, frankly, to comprehend how one can become so corrupted, so devoid of empathy, that the total destruction of nature, animals, food, and human beings living on this planet is the literal agenda of these reptilian-brained idiots. No matter what secret knowledge they have, it is completely useless without wisdom to apply it, which they don't have. They have molded and shaped our society by dumbing it down, teaching totally incorrect history, and hiding valuable esoteric and metaphysical truths. They use inversion to normalize wrong as right and right as wrong. They call us stupid, sheep, useless eaters, inferior, but clearly they have forgotten an important fact. They created this society, which means they are the progenitors of this culture. They are the culture creators, and therefore they're responsible for the outcome of their teachings. They are complaining about the ignorance of the people that they purposefully kept in ignorance. This is total and complete hypocrisy. They brag about leading the world and controlling the media, creating an illusion akin to the Matrix, casting a dark spell over mankind, and perpetrating a mythic copy of reality. And yet, they make fun of those who have been purposefully kept out of the loop. So essentially, they hate their own creation. This would be counterintuitive and insane if you didn't understand the obvious truth. They hate themselves. Their internal dialogue is drenched with self-loathing. They make fun of us for being stupid while dedicating their entire lives to making sure we remain stupid. Does that make any sense? They claim to be the elite guardians of ancient Gnosis while being totally morally inferior. They freely submit to slavery and conform whenever possible. They are sniveling cowards in positions of power, worm tongues, content to spend a lifetime conforming to the agenda of suppressing the human spirit and destroying nature. They are totally devoid of soul, and they know it. And rather than putting in the hard work to create something beautiful, they destroy beauty as if it were the enemy. They care so much about what others think and submit to a hive-minded, inbred genetic monstrosity of a bloodline. None of them have the strength it requires to be an individual, a free and sovereign person. They only know how to buckle to the peer pressure of the collective. They call us a disease when they are the cancer. They are the Black Plague, a primordial goo resurrected from the Dark Ages. They are nothing more than a virus searching for a host. They would be nothing without the energy of those of us they subjugate because they have no creative ideas of their own. The so-called elite must always remember that no matter how high on the pyramid they get, they are always expendable, always disposable, and always lied to. They have created their own curse. They fly the planes that drop chemtrails, which only serve to destroy their own children. They force poison into the water supply only to get cancer from it themselves. They cast black magic only to be sucked into the undertow of that very same energy wave as it falls back on them tenfold. They create a world devoid of variety, living in the gray they have created. They struggle with pushing down and suppressing us, which takes more energy than they ever thought possible. We are like a giant beach ball full of air as they try to keep it submerged, only to find us popping out of the water over and over again. Without the buoyancy of that ball, and depleted of energy from trying to keep it under the surface, they thrash and struggle, drowning themselves in the abyss. They create a wireless revolution, and they laugh at the unsuspecting public who clamors to buy these weaponized frequencies. They know it was created to be an invisible genocide, but they forget that every city has become as toxic as the deck of an aircraft carrier. They can no longer enjoy the martinis and the girls and the beat of the city at midnight without their secret holocaust turning on them. Is it all worth it? Ruining their own lives, ruining their own world, all for the sake of trying to ruin everyone else's? What is knowledge without wisdom? Imagine if we put our efforts into making a healthy world instead of suppressing the souls of innocent, beautiful beings full of potential that we call children. But to the good people who are struggling in the gathering dark, I say this. The darkest shadows are within. We cannot allow ourselves to be fascinated and contaminated by the dark void they cast. We can be our worst enemies. So as much as I despise this control system and encourage people to find the truth, I must always raise my own frequency and focus on the solutions, not just the problems. Awareness is the first step, and we have largely achieved that goal, but now we must take the responsibility of that knowledge and actually put it into action. We must resist the temptation of trying to destroy the destroyers. Let the dark castle fall under its own weight as we remember the beauty of the Shire and go back to it. Without the energy of the host, the virus will die. It will self-destruct, and the hierarchy will crumble. There is no political solution to this problem. There is no voting it out of office, as they own both sides. It's one puppeteer controlling the left and the right hand. There is no fixing a broken system, only creating a new one based in actual freedom and natural law. But we have to avoid the trap of hating the enemy so much that we identify with him. Stockholm Syndrome. Think of Darth Vader encouraging Luke to hate his own father in order to pull him to the dark side. This is a truth hidden in plain sight. Even if you want to right all of their wrongs, you cannot do so by changing their system rooted in corruption. You have to create a whole new system. It has to be about creation, not destruction. So whatever you do, put it through the filter of, am I being a creator or a destroyer right now? Am I operating in the frequency of creation and creativity, or am I operating in the frequency of destruction and death? And ironically, by not focusing your power on bringing an evil down, but instead bringing something benevolent up, that vacuum of energy starves the malevolent force without violence and without effort. You are simply laser-focused on your creation and allowing the distortion to destroy itself. As Mother Teresa once said, I will not go to an anti-war rally, but I will go to a pro-peace rally. And there is wisdom in that. That's why there are agents of controlled opposition within the truth movement, to keep us in a narrow band of frequencies so that we identify with the distortion and never actually do anything about it. Getting out of their frequency range is our only real protection. That way, they literally cannot touch us because our free will is stopping them from entering our reality and our frequency. Everything is frequency. We must use it like a shield. I will not name names because I could be wrong, and it's all conjecture anyway. And to follow my own advice, it's about creating something you do believe in, as opposed to trying to bring down something that you don't. And that's what I try to do at Radio Mysterium. All I can say is look to those who present not only the problems, but ponder and focus on the solutions as well. Meanwhile, create something. Make art. Write a blog. Create documentary shorts. Start a YouTube page. Use your real name and stop hiding. Make music. Dance. Laugh. Design a new house and go off the grid using natural energy. Invent something new like a scalar wave cell phone that heals you as you talk instead of kills you. Create frequencies that vibrate with nature rather than destroy it. Build tree houses and suspension bridges. Enjoy the synchronicity you feel and let intuition guide you. It's not just about intelligence in the left brain and understanding true history and finding out about all of the ways we've been subverted. It's also about using your right brain, stepping back from the canvas, looking at the overall picture, and figuring out how you can plug in and maximize your potential. Be the person that you were created to be. You are powerful. Create your own culture and let the old paradigm crumble. Start with something small and just finish it. The momentum you generate will carry you forward. Thank you.
Share what I history is not pushed by the casuistry of war, migration, imperial dynastic families and stuff like that. History is pulled toward an unimaginable something which is continuously trying to mirror itself in us. This is the same force that created the space shuttle. We are in a relationship to an unseen something which we keep trying to image with our mythologies, our religions, our technologies, our epiphanies. And I think that it's not so far away, that it isn't 10,000 years in the future. It is sometime in the next 50 years. And that this is what history was for. You see, history is an incredibly peculiar and brief phenomenon. I mean, viewed from the point of view of biology, it's less time than it takes for a new species to emerge. I mean, let's call history 25,000 years. You know, in frame one, you're chipping flint. In frame two, you're hurling an instrument toward Alpha Centauri. Like that, this happened. Well, what's happening? It's that mind itself is being pulled out of this creature, and it's being given hands and languages and symbolic systems in order to image the unspeakable. The unspeakable, I call it the transcendental object at the end of time. It casts, and it's in another dimension, it's in a kind of super space. And what it casts into history is the enormous shadow of its immanence. This is what straight people call God. This is what all these visionaries are raving about. It's that when you sink beneath the surface of ordinary causality and mundane ho-humism, what you discover is this enormous transcendental object, which you could call it, you know, the sacred heart of Jesus, or the flying saucer, or the philosopher's stone. It's all of those things, and much, much more. It's not only stranger than you suppose, it's stranger than you can suppose.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Alabama, Arkansas, I do love my ma and pa, not the way that I do love you. Well, holy moly, me oh my, you're the apple of my eye. Boy, I've never loved one like you. Oh man, you're my best friend, screaming to the nothingness. There ain't nothing that I need. Well, hot and heavy pumpkin pie, chocolate candy tastes so nice. There ain't nothing please me more than you. Oh, home, let me come home. Home is wherever I'm with you. Oh, home, let me come home. Home is wherever I'm with you. Ooh, ooh.
Okay, guy, he had a pet dragonfly. The dragonfly, he ran away, but he came back with a story to say. Oh, home, let me come home. Home is wherever I'm with you. Oh, home, let me come home. Ooh, 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 ooh
is wherever I'm with you. Oh, home, let me come home. Home is wherever I'm with you.
Now, go find the others. .com. Yeah, I think I don't know what it is. Like I said, there's nothing perfect. And I think everyone always goes, I want the perfect. It's not, it doesn't exist. In anything, there's not a perfect car, there's not a perfect girl, there's not a perfect man, there's nothing in this world is perfect. Everything is imperfect.
Right.
And it's up to you to try and make it perfect as close as you can.